All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian podcast that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my usual co-host, Roger Robbins, from an unusual location today. He's tuning in from Rosario, Argentina. Hi.
That's correct. Hey, hello, wifey. I'm down here with Pastor Stan and a group of Maryland Bible College students here in Rosario, Argentina, visiting the church here. I'm actually on Pastor Stan's roof of his house, and he's loaned this space to me so that we could do the Grace Hour together. And yeah, we are here for the weekend. We just spent it building up the church, ministering to the people out on the streets, having so much fun sharing and being together. And then tonight we will fly to Santa Cruz de la Sierra, which is the second, it's not the capital, but the largest city in Bolivia. And we'll be there for this week.
So cool. I'm tuning in from my Baltimore living room because we have a much anticipated snowstorm. We don't get much snow here. Snow day for all those in the area with kids. My blessings and patience I bestow upon you. So we're excited to have a show here today, kind of unusual setting, but the week, I want to introduce the theme for the week. So we're going to be talking about the unique life of a Christian in the sense of what makes us different, what makes a Christian unique in the way that we live and in the way that we think. And so each day this week is going to be looking at a kind of a different attribute or characteristic. Today we are going to be looking at the Christian calling to be holy, which is quite a word, quite a calling. So just to give a little outline before we dive in, we want to look at the word, maybe clarify what we mean by that, what the Bible means by that, how it applies to God, and then how it applies to us through our position in Christ.
Yeah.
Enjoy unpacking some of the characteristics of that, and hopefully get into some encouraging practical application for our amazing listeners. So that's what we hope to do today. It's a great topic, but don't you think that the word holy, I don't know, it's kind of an intense word, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not something that you see as a list of genres when you go to, you know, select your favorite, you know, movie title, or like go to the library and there's a whole section called holy. You know, it's not something we want to read. We want to, as human beings, right? And that's because this word has a special designation. It's not just a common thing, right? Like holy is not common. And so it's not something sought after or even promoted, because we as humans and as mankind fallen, we don't even know where to start. But I think maybe that's how we want to set this up, right, Liz? Like, let's cite the first verse. I think I'd like to cite the first verse where it's mentioned in the Bible. It's Exodus chapter 3 with Moses, right? And I think the word that we wanted to use to start this, right, is to describe holiness as humans and as God being holy. We wanted to use the word unapproachable. And when you look at chapter 3, it says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So there is something that's happened here in the sequence of events. The rhythm is holy is going to appear to not holy. Mm-hmm. And really that's the setting stage. That's the scene here. And it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he took and behold the bush was burning and yet it was not consumed. And then it says, in verse 5, it says, do not, he said, do not come near. God the angel of the Lord says, do not come here, take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. So the scene is really holy approaches what is not holy. And it's really a scene of where Moses tried to approach it. He looked at it, but God stopped him and said, it's not good for you. It is not good for you to cross this line. And I think that's the word that we wanted to kind of like bring up, is unapproachable is like we step over the line, right? Like when I'm going through the immigration office here in the airport, and there's always a line when you go to the passport control, right? And they're so serious about that. Mm-hmm. They're like, you step over that line, you could go to jail, right? Like you step over that. That's a holy line. That's our territory.
That's good.
So I think that's maybe sets the stage for how we can interpret it. And as Christians, when we speak to specifically as Christians, this word to us, as we'll talk about and unpack, is that we have been approached. And that's what we want to like encourage ourselves today, that we've been approached. It's an unapproachable topic. It's an unapproachable word, right? And its nature.
Yeah, because I think when we were talking about it, especially in today's age where there's not a lot of fear of God, we could say in culture, the word holy, it almost seems like a dirty word. Like nobody even wants to be holy anymore, right? There's actually like a disrespect towards things mm-hmm. that are considered holy. We have these phrases like holier than thou, or you think mm-hmm. you're more holy than I am. I have, as a Christian, when I have maybe drawn a line and said, you know, I'm not going to do that thing, and some of my friends could be like, oh, you think you're more holy than me? Mm-hmm. And it can be used as an insult today. And and I think that is interesting, because as Christians, we know that we are called to be holy. But I wouldn't want there to be a misunderstanding about what that means. Like for me to say that I want to live a holy life is not me saying I want to live a life that's judgmental of others.
Or better than yours.
Yeah, like that my life is better than yours, that we are in any way comparing. Mm-hmm. It's really about my standing, like you were saying, our position before God. And I love that when you mentioned that word unapproachable, because we've talked a lot about the nature of God in past episodes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things when we talked about how God is like light, no, that was a few weeks back now, maybe a couple months ago. It's all blurred together. But anyway, we talked about how how his character and attributes are similar to the nature of light. And one of the cool things we noted about light is that the speed of light is unapproachable. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do remember.
We talked about how the speed of light is constant, and light travels at that speed no matter what, always, and nothing else travels at the speed of light. In that way, light is completely unique in the universe. And that's why we were enjoying mm-hmm. this parallel between God and light, that God is also completely unique. And the word holy mm-hmm. often means like set apart. And in that way, it's like God is completely and totally set apart from everything else. We mentioned how he's the uncreated one. Everything else is created, and he's the uncreated one. So the idea of holy, just starting out of the gate, is that there's a uniqueness. It's separate. It's different. Mm-hmm. There's a delineation. And when it comes to God, it's unapproachable. We cannot, as people, begin to approach God in a slow way and eventually get to him. And that's why the Christian faith is so cool, because we know we can't. We know we can't approach holiness.
Yeah.
We like good luck, you know, well, it's not going to happen.
That's and yeah. And you're like, what you're saying is that okay, God's character and nature, him being uncreated and being the first being who he is as first cause, he approaches
right.
us, right? So no one before him, no one after him, Isaiah 43, verse 10 or 11. But there is this honesty that he's seeking in, like holiness is seeking as it confronts and approaches what is not holy.
Mm.
The question is, it's like, what does unholy say to holy?
Yeah.
Right? And so if you go back to Exodus 3, the Lord appears, and just him appearing, like, you know, we talked earlier, Liz, remember how we were saying, like, it's just grace that we can even talk about holiness.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's grace. Grace just is, the word grace comes to me, and I hope it comes to the listener and to us. When you see in verse 2, like the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, like he didn't have
yes.
to, you know, he didn't, he could have just consumed yeah. him. He could have forgotten about him. He could have been just another speck in the desert
yeah.
there where he was wandering.
Yeah.
Right. But, and if you look at the whole backdrop, you know, the sadness in Moses's life, the bad decisions he had made, the murder he had committed, mm-hmm. right? Like all the cover up, and that holiness comes to him. Right. And appears to him and in the most gentle way. I mean, it's very serious, but actually it's quite gentle when you look at the spectrum of God's power, like to what we can comprehend. He says, take off your sandals, take off your sandals.
Yeah.
You know, and to him, there was a connection that if you do this, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, right. And the practical side, the conditional side, like, what's on our side of this? As grace appears to us, as holiness appears to us, we just, first thing we should say is, it's unapproachable.
Yeah.
It's unapproachable.
Yeah, that's good.
If I cross this line, and I was thinking, so if you fast forward just a little bit, just for the sake of clarity, when you look at Mount Sinai and Exodus 19, you know, the story is like, it's amazing because it has also another sequence of events where it starts personal, like this unapproachable, like, is approached, right? It's very personal. It's one-on-one, you know, God's holiness. It seems like God's holiness has to be one-on-one, like Jesus's ministry, 34% of it was one-on-one, right? Like, trying to get across that deity wanted to dwell in mankind and could, right? So, but then it goes up to a mountain in Sinai, and there's a line, like you said, delineation, right, Liz? You were like, delineation. There was a line where there was smoke. And like, if you crossed it, God, it says in that chapter of Exodus 19, like if they crossed it, they were done. And there was great fear in the whole camp of Israel. So then God calls the man to the mountain. Isn't that cool? Like, there it is again. Like, the unapproachable is approached, you know, and called into the smoke. There goes Moses. And then what happens? God sends him back down in chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments. So you can see God's character and nature is like, I think there's the verse that you quoted, or you haven't, you quoted earlier, which was, I want you to be holy as I am holy
yeah.
in Leviticus.
Leviticus 11.
20:11. So now we're starting to see, and like, isn't that so encouraging? Like, I'm seeing God's intent.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just like, I am holy,
yeah.
right? Like with his hands folded. He's like, I am holy. Like, he's approaching us.
Well, and I mean, we just had our awesome episode about the incarnation as we celebrated Christmas. And again, it's
yes, incarnation
it's the same
is a
thing,
picture
right?
Of,
this is like
that's a good
God
point.
Approaching man. Like, we could never
mm-hmm.
approach him. His holiness is pure and 100% unique, and we are so unholy. I like you use the word honesty. I think God wants our honesty here, right? That's the first step Honesty, which is a humble recognition of who God is and who we are not. And then he says, I'm going to approach you. I'm coming down. I'm coming all the way, just like he came to the mountain to appear to Moses. But Christ coming to the world was him saying, I want to be able to be approached. Like, I want relationship. I want relationship.
And isn't it cool that, like, so he does it individually and then he does it like corporately. Like, he's like, I'm going to take the whole people of Israel. Like, you know, God, oh, you're great. You made one man holy. Mm-hmm. Big deal. He's like, no, no, no. I'm going to make a nation great. I'm going to make them great by their holiness. Yeah. I'm going to set them apart. Yeah. And that's what he does in chapter 20 of Exodus. God gives him a tablet of stone, right? But really it's a picture of what's, because the ten commandments are unapproachable, right? But then really it's like Jesus is going to show us, like we have the amazing opportunity to look and see this great history, that the tablets of stone are going to go into the heart, right? Like the unapproachable will come in, dwell through an approachable God. He's gonna be approachable, and he sends the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel to first show them what is holy, kind of like draw the line in the sand, and here is the list, and it's very practical. It's very like we can understand it. And it's suddenly, and the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh. And one of the words that came touched, like spoke to me, was to be cut. Mm-hmm. To like cut. Yeah. Like it's holiness cracked out something and broke apart something that is, and that holiness made it holy. Mm-hmm. You know, like holiness surrounded it. And made that holy. It made the stone holy. And it made it holy through holy words. Words from God. And then it's handed over to, you know, Moses, this holy man. A man that was made holy through his obedience. Mm-hmm. And then brought to a people who were not holy, but were going to be. So there is hope in this progression. You know, like this unapproachable topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting in the Old Testament because it's important that the foundation is laid in the Old Testament. God is presenting all the vocabulary, all of the concepts and principles and teachings that he plans to fulfill through Christ. It's all, he uses this nation, this disobedient, stiff-necked, doubting, weak group of people that we can all relate to, but he's using them to present all of these. He's unfolding his plan, and the idea of purity and holiness and a cleansing that would happen, and the use of sacrifice for that. All of those are Old Testament themes that we now bring into the New Testament understanding of Christ as the spotless lamb. And you know, the idea of being holy is not it doesn't stay in the Old Testament. It's now being brought in, and we know First Peter is where I spent a lot of my time studying, and it's in First Peter, the first chapter and the second is full of a lot about this idea of being holy, in the sense of being set apart, and it says in verse 15 a phrase that sounds like it's in the Old Testament, and that is, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. This is verse 15 of 1 Peter 1. And it sounds like it's in the Old Testament because it is. We see it in Leviticus 11, you mentioned it, verse 45. Mm-hmm. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I brought you up and out of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So the one who is holy called you out, and you should be holy. That's Leviticus 11, and that's 1 Peter 1, verse 15. They're the same. And
wow.
The only...
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's cool, right? And what is happening, in between those two verses is it says here in still in 1 Peter in verse 19, it says, with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, that is how you have been purified. So again, an Old
Yes.
Testament idea of sacrifice being fulfilled in Christ, that he was the spotless lamb. He was holy and pure and sinless, and it's his blood that cleanses and purifies us. So okay, so now here we are,
Right.
and what does this mean for us? I think it's important to recognize that we're not saying that Christians are going to be holy in conduct all the time. We have to first start with the fact that we are holy because we're in Christ, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's actually a verse I wanted to read. It's in Exodus, a little further down. And God kind of like shows in his intent, like, you know, I was saying earlier, like, how do you make, like, when something is made clean or holy, like, let's just imagine God is he comes into the scene and he shows up, and wherever, like you said, the light touches is consumed by that light. Like everything is from darkness turned and brought forth. So holiness, if we were to look at it as it enters us, or as it enters a human being, like there's no contradiction in it. Meaning, like when I take on holiness or receive holiness from God, who is 100% holy, there's no like shadow or variance, like it says in James 1, right? He's the father of light. So that means that when holiness comes and touches what is not holy, everything in the unholiness, the unapproachable, is then made holy. Like, so what you're saying is from Leviticus to 1 Peter, like there's no contradiction. It's the same exact story that God makes things holy based upon who he is, his character and nature. Which what you're saying is like that then gives me confidence that like I am holy. And then so like let's talk a little bit about that. Like so the Levitical way, like if you look at kind of a lot of scholars and those who comment about Old Testament law, say that the other people groups around the nation of Israel, and including Egypt and different places from abroad, when the first Levitical priestly laws were given to Moses, it was like groundbreaking, just to the way they washed things, right? The way they dealt with blood, the way they cleansed, the way they operated with sheep and lambskin. And the hair, and like all the bits and pieces, whether it was with families or with morality, or whether it was like, you know, like the different sacrifices and the preparation for them, other nationalities and people at that time had never heard about that. They were kind of like you would say living in the Dark Ages. So what Israel received, this holy law, was groundbreaking. So it immediately, like the knowledge of it, immediately set them apart.
I mean, again, I hope that the listeners are doing the same thing that I am. Like over the years, I've kind of retrained my brain when I hear the word holy to mean set apart. Like, I think it helps because the idea of being holy is so intimidating. And it seems unattainable, and in many ways, when
Right.
we're considering the holiness of God and that He is purely righteous and totally unlike us, that is true. But when it comes to what God has called us to be, I hope people listening, when they hear like you're called to be holy, it's really you're called to be set apart. And think about the people of Israel. They were a hot mess in many ways, but they were different. Like,
That's they were
they
a
were a
hot
hot mess,
mess.
but they were different. Like they were their way of life, the things you said, such practical things, how they prepared their food, how they washed their bodies, how they dealt with sickness, all of those things were very unique. And I think that's kind of the in between that we can understand about ourselves as we live in a broken world and in these sinful bodies, is like the people of Israel, we've been called out of Egypt, out of slavery, right? That was that beautiful picture of being called out of slavery and into freedom in Christ.
Yes, that's a good
And
point.
in that calling out, we are separate. We are different. There is a boundary, but it's not because of our righteousness or our goodness or our hard work. It's that God chose us and he called us out. And what did we
Oh,
say? We
Liz.
said yes. That's what we said. We said yes. I will.
Well, let's maybe we talk a little bit about that, the like features of holiness as a Christian, right? So some of the, I call them features. I forgot what you called them, but you know, these features have, as you said, a unique way of showing that there has been, we are custodians, like we receive something that I don't want to say elevate, you said separate, but it has been cut in such a way, like a diamond that cannot be cut any other way. Like it shines so uniquely, it reflects so uniquely, it like, and like we know diamonds cut other materials, right? Like so there is something extraordinary, but the part about holiness, God's holiness, is its intent is always to bring and reflect his glory, his nature and character. So as he looks, you know, and gives us and bestows upon us holiness, and we receive it as Moses did, he's reflecting it. And they covered his face up. Remember? Like his face was veiled because of the power that it possessed. Now we know in the Gospels it's unveiled, and we want to unveil this amazing holiness and let it shine. So it's actually something to be very excited about and not something to be so sad about, like you were saying, right?
Or, I mean, not necessarily
So
sad, but I think we can be intimidated by this calling.
yeah, not
You
sad,
know,
yeah,
when it says
intimidated,
like
or like
it says somewhere like a high and holy calling. And some of us might want to shrink back from that, like, whoa, 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 like I'm not.
Yeah, what makes
Yeah,
me
like
high
I'm
and
not up for
holy?
that. Like I'm a sinner saved by grace. But that is literally the whole point, is that when I say I am a sinner saved by grace, what I'm doing is what it says in 1 Peter 1 again, it says that you're purified by the obedience to the truth. And that's the gospel. So that word purified is directly connected in the Greek to the word holy. The word purified is hagnizo, and the word for holy is hagios, and they are connected. And this is like we have been made holy. We've been made pure by obedience. So it's my obedience, my saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. My submission to the truth of the gospel is what makes me holy. So now, when I hear, okay, I've got a high and holy calling, I don't feel guilty, I don't feel burdened. I'm like excited for what God has set me apart for. Because that's, again, that's that word,
And
right? Like Paul said in Romans 1, he was talking about himself. He said, I've been set apart for the gospel of God. And in 2 Corinthians 6, and this is quoting Isaiah, Paul says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. And this word, be separate or separate yourself, is it means you've been chosen for a purpose, you've been appointed, and there's been a mark off from others by boundaries. So again, it's not this, I'm better than you, I'm holy and you are not.
Right,
It's
it's not.
so it's such a misunderstanding, and I think it's the devil who would want people to be turned off by the idea of holiness, by this misunderstanding that it's this impossible standard that I'm reaching, but
Yeah.
you can't reach, or, you know? So I think that's
Yes.
important to keep saying that because, again, I just think the word holy has gotten really beat up in recent times because of our, you know, we love grace. And you were saying it when we were preparing for this, like to be a sinner saved by grace is not to reject the holy calling of being holy in our
Right.
conduct. It's to say, I can now approach the throne of grace because of what he's done.
It is. It is. And so, how about those features? You mentioned one of
Yeah.
them. I was thinking, so Psalm 4:3 says, the set apart ones are heard.
Wow.
So one of the, I think one of the features as our position as holy, as God has made us holy, has appeared to us, the unapproachable has approached us. And Daniel 10:12, you see that God comes to Daniel and says to him, your words have been heard. I have heard your words. And he talks about how he was humble and he sought the Lord. Like his
Yeah.
humility and his set apartness, right? In Daniel 1:8, it says he chose purpose in his heart not to eat the king's meat. Like he separated himself. So his words are heard. So I think the first one that came to my mind, a unique feature of a holy Christian is that his words are heard. The second one is that he's clean, or you said
Yeah.
purified, right? John 15:3 says your words have cleansed us, you know. Your word, by your word I am clean. And you said, I think it was 1 Peter 1:22, we've been purified, our souls have been
Yes.
purified by the obedience to truth. The next thing I thought, number three, was a unique feature for us Christians means that I wrote down here is that, you know, holiness is possession. You know, like I was saying earlier, like holiness invaded and took
Yeah.
over. Like, praise God. Like, grace was just reckless. Gospel was reckless. Jesus came in and was like, I'm going to take over, right? Wasn't it like, take off your shoes. I'm going to consume you. I'm going to
Yeah, it's an
consume you.
all or
My
nothing,
holiness will
right?
consume.
Yeah, it's like an all or
Yeah.
nothing for sure.
There's no like, right? Like, there's no like little percentage here that isn't consumed or not
And
holy when it
that's
comes
why
to
we
God's
use like
holiness.
this really strong verbiage, like I'm a slave to God. It's this sense of
Right. It's a
it's a
100%.
complete giving
That's a good
over, it's a
point.
complete surrender. We were slaves to sin. So,
Right.
you
Slaves to
know,
sin. Now we're
and now we're
slaves to
slaves to
God.
God. So
Yeah.
it's 100%.
And again, good point. Like slaves to God, it sounds kind of crazy. Like, oh
Like,
no,
whoa, whoa.
unapproachable. Like, whoa, easy, you know, tone it
Yeah.
down. But it's like, no, I am a slave to God in the most amazing sense, in the most loving sense, in the most powerful sense. Leviticus 26:12, you shall be my people. And then and we talked about it earlier, Exodus 25, like, I'm gonna dwell with
Yeah.
you. Like he wants to possess us, and then we know that he possessed the nation of Israel. And then the last point that I wanted to just bring up about unique features, which I think is kind of a fun one, is 1 Peter 2:4, that one of the unique features as a Christian in 1 Peter 2:4 is that we are rejected by the
Isn't
world
that fun?
and by
That's so
men.
fun.
You know, like if you're holy, just know you're going to be
Yeah.
rejected. Rejected, like as Jesus was rejected, rejected by men. It says in Isaiah 53:3 that they rejected him and scoffed at him, scorned at him,
Yeah.
right? So and Peter remind the Jews in Acts 4:11. He's like, you guys rejected your Savior, the Holy One of Israel.
I mean, the idea of
So
being
those are
rejected,
some
it kind
good.
of makes sense when you think about the all or nothing aspect of this, that if you're all in the world, then you are
Then you're,
rejected, but you're an
yeah,
enemy of God,
good.
right? But if you are all in with God, then you are an enemy of the world. You are rejected. It cannot be both. And we know how much Jesus really railed against the hypocrisy which was this
Yes.
idea that you could have both. This and then the
Mm.
word double-minded is what we see a lot, like in both the Old and the New Testament.
Yes.
Like God is really not a fan of people who are
Yes.
double-minded. He's like, make up your
Right,
mind.
James 4.
Yeah, he wants you to make up your mind,
Yeah.
and he's done all the work. So it's really just a choice of faith and accepting the grace, but he wants us to make up our mind. And I think that's what living as a holy Christian is, this idea that you mentioned being set apart, you mentioned being purified, that we're his possession. 1 Peter 2 says that we are a possession of God in verse 9. And that means that we've been chosen. We are a chosen nation. All of these things are this idea of being separate, being unique, being distinct. And
Well,
the last one I think is this idea of being called out, which we already mentioned it, where in Leviticus he says that I brought you up and out. But we've been called out. And the other place that I love this phrase, and we've heard it many times before, also 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's verse 9, and it's that, okay, so you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I think that's the description of being holy, is that God is in his marvelous light, his unapproachable holy light, and he has called us out of darkness and into that light. So as sinful human beings, for us to be holy is to accept this calling out. You know, we were saying there's this phrase we use now where it's, you know, man, they really called me out, you know. I'm gonna call you out on something that you've done. It's to point out something, right? It's to like clarify like something that you're supposed to be doing, you know. Oh, I didn't brush my teeth and my mom called me out on that, you know. That's what God has done. He's called us out. He's saying, I've already done the work. You're already mine. I've cleansed you, I've purified you, I've saved you. And now, like, let's walk in holy conduct.
I was thinking as you're talking, right? Like, we were missionaries in a Muslim country, and there's kind of like pseudo holiness, right? Like there is a,
So
other
much,
forms,
yeah.
like we call it self-righteousness and different forms through a list of or through a set of different systems of works that reflect an outer holiness, but right, there's no inner. There's the washing of the cup.
Right.
There's the like great and amazing works of man that seemingly reflect a type of holiness, but within they don't have it, right? And that's in all of us, of course. But my thought was just that as when you were speaking, you're kind of like painting the picture of what the gospel is right to be set apart. And as missionaries or just as Christians, like, we're all missionaries, that like wherever we go, the best way to be a missionary or a Christian is just to live a holy
Yeah.
life, right? Like, and that's what was so commendable about the church in Thessaloniki, in 1 Thessalonians, was like Paul was like, just do your work, be peaceable. Like he gives this like little list, like love each other. Jesus said it in John 13. Like he gave us like this way, this very practical outline of like a great way to live
Yeah.
life with the Lord and at the same time be drawing all men to him. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that
Yeah.
cool? And so the gospel, though I might be rejected, though we might be like forsaken and forgotten, or maybe scorned at, mocked or ridiculed, we take that and go, you know what? It could draw men. It shall and it can draw men, all men unto him. So really, like it's not so complicated to be this Christian, on outside these
Yeah.
streets. And yeah, I think so that was one thing I just wanted to mention. There was one other thing that you know, we talked about position, like these are like unique features of a Christian. But how about like maybe we close with like some practical things?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're walking around the topic of how to
In
behave.
2025.
Yes, in
2025.
2025, it's like how to behave, how to act, right? I mean, to this in First Peter, it says, be holy in all your conduct. So this is about the way that we live our lives. And we don't want to be so hypothetical or so spiritual that we don't talk about the practical. But it's so important to recognize, you just mentioned like being in a Muslim country. In those places, these people are earning the right to approach God through their actions. If they can be holy enough, good enough, then they could maybe approach God one day. We are saying no to that. Like, that is not the gospel. So hopefully the listeners are understanding that we're not being hypothetical here, but before you can be practically holy, you have to understand that the gospel is that you have been made holy. Like, you are. It's done. And if we don't start there, then we're going to be like the Pharisees who are presenting something on the outside in our conduct that has not begun in the heart. And
Inside,
that's
inside.
again, First Peter, when you look at verse 22 of chapter 1, we mentioned the purifying of your souls by obedience to the truth. And then it continues to say, for brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So the heart has been cleansed and purified. It's been filled with the completely unique, incredible love of God that is unlike the love of men. We have that love in our hearts, and then we have an earnest and sincere love for one another. And now we're talking about conduct, right? Now we're talking about the way that I treat my neighbor, the way that I treat my brother, my sister, my enemy. So this now we're talking real life.
Even and I think it's good to mention too, like 1 Corinthians 11 said, you know, as we took the Lord's Supper, let us ex it, Paul said, let us examine ourselves. I think it's good to examine ourselves. We're safe to do it in the place of grace, right? Like, so we've been holy, we have been approached, made holy, because we have been approached by, as we said, God Himself sending His Son, right? So there's no need to hide, no need to be dishonest, right? Like, walk in the light as He's in the light. The truth will set you free. You know, I'm the light of the world. Anyone that follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of light in John 8:12. So just enjoy it. Let it come in. Let it do its work. Examine it. Come on, go in all the places. Touch my phone. You know what I mean? Like, touch my job, Isaiah, touch my lips, right? Touch my mind. Like, where can you touch me? Examine me with your holiness. Can you touch my hands and cleanse them? Can you touch my feet? And ultimately, it is going to create through this relationship, because honestly, this is a we're describing a relationship, right? Where God comes and dwells with us. This is a relationship. Unique. Holiness is unlike any other religion in the Bible, where it speaks specifically of relationship. But what it's doing is it's showing purpose. Right? And it's personal. It's a personal purpose that holiness is trying to do. And so maybe in 2025, as always, and as we live in this culture, wherever it is we live, like, examine yourselves and look to see with grace, like, what it is God wants or is it wants to make holy or is not holy, right? Like, there's also the is not holy part. And that's when we face, I give the examples, the Lord's Supper. It's because if there is sin in my life, if there is some sort of separation, in the sense of sin or failure, we have the advocate. So we have the answer. And so examine, Good to examine, right? Like, why, I think it's your, my father-in-law, your dad, he's always like, don't wake up pointing the finger this way. He's like, point the finger this
Yeah.
way, start here. Don't think about the mote in your brother's eye. I mean, the beam in your.
Oh man, I think I lost you. Are you there? Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, I think, and we do have to wrap up anyway, but hopefully what we've communicated today is just that holiness is not being a judgmental person. It's not holding yourself above other people. But what holiness is seeking to be more and more like Christ in your conduct. So if there's any comparison that's going to happen, it's between me and Christ. And the moment that I have that is a humbling moment, and it's an opportunity to say, okay, so Christ is my judge, and he has judged me unworthy, and Christ is my savior, and he has come and done everything so that I could be as holy as he is. So when we talk about, okay, I want to live a holy life, that is so, like you said, it's so much between me and God. It has nothing to do with comparing to, am I holier than you, other person? So I think hopefully we've unpacked that a little bit. I think it's a word that I regularly have to redefine or correct the definition of in my mind to this idea of being set apart. And as we go through these other markings of a Christian, what makes a Christian life unique this week, it really, this is the foundation, is our position that we have been made holy. And in that, there's a lot of other beautiful fruit that's going to come from that truth, So I think, is that it from us today? You
Amen.
From Argentina?
That's it for me. I mean, I'm here just loving this and excited about this week of all that's going to happen. We're walking around as holy. We're just boasting in God's grace. And what a topic, what a week.
Yeah, so we want to just close with that in all of this, the whole point of this is that he would be glorified and that it would all be to his praise and to proclaim the excellencies of him and what he has done. So we hope you've enjoyed this. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow and share this with whoever you think would be blessed by it. Thanks for listening.